Father in heaven, we truly give all our praises and thanks to you. Only to you alone, who is the maker of the whole universe, including our lives. And you sustain us, and you give us the meaning and purpose for this life. Father, this life is from you, and this life is through you, and this life is to you. You receive all the honor and glory from each one of us. And thank you for this bright Sunday morning. It's the presence of resurrected Jesus in spirit with us. We thank you for that. And we commit our heart to you. And we trust in you in all our ways. And not lean on our own understanding, but submit to you in everything that we do. We thank you for your presence here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we are going to talk about fasting. I see that our life is a continuation of eating something. Snacks and coffee and three meals, and some people eat five meals a day. And fasting is definitely foreign to many people and even to the Christians. When you think of fasting, it sounds like a war and something impossible or impractical. Why bother when there are so many goodies out there? Why we restrain ourselves from enjoying those things God has given us? Well, good justification like that may be pumping in our mind. And there may be a lot of fears associated with fasting. How can I skip a meal? I get dizzy when I do that. Many people have a mental block against fasting. If prayer is one of the hardest disciplines in the life of the believers, and fasting may be truly the hardest discipline at all. But why do people fast? And what benefit does fasting bring? And why do we need to fast? We have been looking at the life of Daniel, living as a hostage in a foreign land since his teenage. Daniel steadfastly holds himself unto God. And we know Daniel's contribution fully well by now, how this man stands firm in faith and represent God's glory in his personal work and in his public service. God has revealed perhaps one of the most important revelations of all times, which we looked at last week. It's called 70 weeks, actually 77s, which stands for 490 years. But there's more. There's more that Daniel offers to us. He was a champion of prayer and fasting. Why did Daniel fast? What benefit did his fasting bring to him and to the people? And what's the truth about fasting? So we are going to answer these questions today. And would you please turn with me to Daniel 10? We are going to read verse 1 to begin with. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar, and the message was true and one of the great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. So third year of Cyrus, which is around 537 before Christ, and 606 BC, about 72 years ago, Israel was taken by the Babylon. And by this time, third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the first group of exiles actually have returned to Jerusalem. So those are 70 years, the period that Jeremiah prophesied was about to be, has been fulfilling in the year of Cyrus, king of Persia. But Daniel and others remained behind. There's no record in the Bible that Daniel ever returned to his home country. And again, a message was revealed from God. It is about the message of truth, and it's about great conflict, great war. And Daniel understood this message, and I believe this message was given to him through vision. Now let's look at verse 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks was completed. So this is a famous passage that a lot of people take 21-day fasting with vegetation and water. Came from this particular portion of the Bible. And we wonder, why did Daniel mourn and fast? And we believe that the message, the vision he got, was so terrified him. And it's about terrible times lay ahead for him and his people. That's why he was so distressed that he went on fasting for 3 weeks. And this is the period whether not only he fasted from good food and wine and all those old ointment, but he also prayed and mourned. Now let's look at verses 4 to 6. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of upas, and his body also was like burr. His face had the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and his feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the source of the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. And let's go on to 7 to 9. And now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deadly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face and with my face to the ground. An amazing narrative in the middle of prophecy. Daniel put himself as I, the first person, and described what happened. And at the end of 3 weeks mourning and fasting, he had another vision. This was an open vision. And this vision is basically that Daniel saw a man, and who was obviously a supernatural being. And he was terribly startled, so much so that he grew weak and he could not stand on his feet. And according to the description from 5 to 6, this is a very similar description in Revelation 1, 12 to 16, which was John's encounter with Jesus. And I believe this man who standing before Daniel was pre-incarnated Jesus. And Daniel's response was totally overwhelming, similar to Apostle Paul's response when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. So Daniel sensed God's powerful and holy presence. And this is an amazing experience that he had never had, never tasted before. And verse 9, Upon hearing the sound of his word, Daniel fell into a deep sleep on his face. So he was ushered into a different stage of experiencing God and his peace. And some people refer to this experience as a trance, which was Peter's experience in Acts chapter 10. He fell into sleep in the presence of God. Have you noticed that when you have a prayer meeting at home or praises and some kid just fall asleep? Actually, some parents, you know, rebuke them and wake them up. Actually, they may experience this peace in the presence of God. So don't wake them up because they are enjoying the presence of God. I remember a couple of our kids always fall asleep. And I was wondering, you know, what's wrong with them? But actually, they might enjoy this presence of God. And I believe that's what Daniel was experiencing. On the one hand, he was terrified with the glory of Jesus, but on the other hand, he felt peace, peace like nothing else. So he was able to rest in the presence of God. So based on these nine verses, I got this first truth. Fasting helps grow in the Lord. Fasting helps grow in the Lord. We do fast with different reasons, but I think the primary benefit of fasting is getting to know the Lord in a different level. At this juncture of his life, Daniel was still growing in a different level through his fasting. He encountered Lord Jesus in an open vision and sensing God's powerful and holy presence. And if you really want to experience God in a different level, I recommend you do fast. Your desire to know God in different level will make you overcome the fear of fasting. And I believe fasting is a process of sanctification. And fasting leads to holiness of the mind and heart. And through fasting, you can encounter God in a new and fresh way. And at some point of your fasting, you may not desire eating, actually. And your mind gets so clear so that you can hear God's voice very clearly so that you know what God has for you. Now let's look at verses 10 through 12. Then behold, a hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. So this is another supernatural encounter into the scene. Most scholars believe that this angel is actually Gabriel, and he appeared to him before. And verse 12 reveals another important role of fasting. The messenger of God acknowledged Daniel's fasting. When you set your heart in understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, is actually referring to his prayer with fasting. And the messenger of God acknowledged Daniel's fasting. And he says, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. So whatever he prayed during his fasting, God sent his angel. God heard, and God sent Gabriel to Daniel to tell him a very important thing. So fasting and prayer seems to have an impact in a spiritual realm. So this leads to second truth about fasting. Fasting moves God's heart. Fasting moves God's heart. You know, in Daniel 9, the previous chapter, we clearly see the fulfillment of God's promise, prophecy of 70 weeks, 70 sevens, was revealed after Daniel's prayer and fasting. Do you recall Daniel 3:9? I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer, supplication, with fasting, and sackcloth and ashes. So, as he was praying, while he was fasting, God revealed the 77s. So definitely, fasting moves God's heart so that he would reveal this truth to Daniel, so that he would proclaim this one for the sake of us. And the revelation of perhaps one of the most important prophecies, if not the most one, in the entire scripture was given to Daniel when he set his heart through prayer with fasting. Someone said, if prayer is like a rain, fasting is like a thunderstorm. It is a means that moves God's heart. If you have been praying for a breakthrough or for a direction, and it hasn't happened yet, I recommend you to continue to pray with fasting. And here in Daniel 10, we clearly see his fasting has a correlation of God's move in our spiritual realm. Upon his 21-day fasting, God sent his messenger to Daniel to reveal even more concrete and detailed prophecy that Daniel and his people of God need to understand. And the whole chapter 11 is actually what is going to happen in very detail. And chapter 11 is designated the prophecy of the great conflict to come. God revealed to Daniel the secret to mankind because Daniel gave himself to God in full dedication of prayer and fasting. So some people say, you know, God is sovereign. God knows what He's doing. And God does move things according to His pleasure and His goodwill. Then why do we need fasting? God is sovereign and He does His thing according to His pleasure and His plan. You know, we cannot question about that. But one thing that I know from the Bible is God honors our fasting and responds to our dedication through fasting. God's sovereignty and our responsibility are not orthogonal to each other, actually. It actually makes things complete. That's why God chose church to share the gospel. He could have sent the gospel message to everyone by the work of the Holy Spirit. But God chose not to do that. But God entrusted church to do that. That's our responsibility. God is sovereign. He does things. He orchestrates all things according to His pleasure and His predestined plan. He has a game plan, the winning game plan, which He has won already. But He still uses us as the channels of blessing to this world. So I believe fasting has a special power in a spiritual realm. God honors yours and mine, fasting. And fasting is perhaps the most serious expression of our dedication and intercession to the Lord. I was thinking about fasting, and I think the nature of fasting is to cut off our pleasure for a while. Whether it is food or alcohol or media, TV or drama, or even social media, you know, I see that, you know, we're living in a generation we can do streaming 24/7. Do you believe that? It doesn't cost a lot, right? If you stay in the Wi-Fi area, and even if you have data, unlimited data plan, you can actually turn on your smartphone 24/7 and do something, interact with this, the goodies and a lot of entertaining stuff all your life, all day long, and all your life. But the nature of fasting is to cut off that pleasure for the time being. When we cut off our pleasure, God cut off our bondage. Do you know that? God honors our willingness to cut off from those of pleasure thing, and He will cut off our bondage in return. So when He cut off our pleasure, God cuts off our bondage. Interesting, right? So now let's look at the last two verses of today's message. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstanding me for 21 days, this is what the Gabriel, the messenger of God, is saying. And then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. And now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. So what is a king, the prince of the king of Persia? And I think this refers to the Satan and the rank of dark forces. And Satan is appointed evil emissary to influence every major empire that Daniel saw in his visions. Babylon, Medes, Persia, Greece, and Rome, all those the empires were, especially the leader of those empires, were captive of deceptive ideas infused by Satan. So they fight each other. Nations fight against nations. Wonder why they are fighting always, because deception of Satan, at least one of the reasons why they fight each other. And Satan deceives people, especially the top people of the nations, with the spirit of pride, nationalism, and power. And I believe the same thing is happening in this world. If you look at the landscape of political arena, you know, European Union, within European Union, there's a rivalry always, France and Germany and England. And between Europe and USA and, you know, Asia, China, Japan, think about that, and even Russia come into the picture. They always deceive, you know, they devise something to show that they are the number one and they have the leadership, and they are very, you know, the pro-nationalism. They're concerned about their nation, but, you know, don't care about other nations and so on. And I was thinking, why it's always like that? And I believe that's because Satan is the prince of the air. He still influences those leaders through deception. Especially unless they are a very devout Christian, they are deceived. You know, most of the leaders that I know of in the world, they are not Christians. And what would influence them? I believe Satan. And even if you are a Christian leader, you can be deceived by Satan many times. So we need to pray for the leaders of this country and the nations so that they would know Jesus in person. You know, that's the way that the true peace will come. Until then, I don't see any hope in this conflict in global arena. So according to verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia restrained this messenger of God, Gabriel, to come to Daniel for 21 days. Interesting, right? And as soon as Daniel began his fasting, not only God responded Daniel's fasting, so that God sent Daniel, Gabriel to Daniel to reveal more truth about the future, but Satan tried to prevent God's mission from being revealed. That's why Gabriel couldn't come right away. And Satan brought his power to keep God's people from understanding God's game plan of the future so that they would live in the deception of demonic realm. You know, one of the Satan's deception, enjoy your life, it'll go on forever. And quench your thirst. You know, Nike ads or something. No, it's a Coke. Gatorade. Okay. Enjoy, you know, there's no judgment, there's no hell, just enjoy your life, go on. That's the biggest deception of Satan. And make a lot of money and then don't worry about your life for the rest of your life. I have seen many people who have a lot of money who are retired, but they don't know what to do with that. And many of them suicide themselves. That's another Satan's deception. Kill yourself, you know. It'll be okay, you know. You go into the better place. It's not the case. Daniel's fasting does not trigger this opposition of Satan, but when Daniel started fasting, God responded, and Satan realized God is breaking through the obstacle set by him, so he resisted. Satan resisted. So fasting holds great potential as an instrument of spiritual warfare. You know, those who are intercessors, they know what this means in the spiritual realm. And fasting is, you know, great potential as an instrument of spiritual warfare. There are certain things that cannot be dealt with unless we fast. We'll go to that point later. So Daniel could not handle this dark force all by himself. So God sent another powerful messenger, Michael, one of the chief prince, archangels. With Michael's help, Gabriel was able to break through Satan's resistance and releasing the vision of the latter days to Daniel. And read Daniel 11. We are going to skip Daniel 11, by the way. We're going to finish Daniel 12 in the next message that I give. But read Daniel 11. That's another future from Daniel's point of view, what is going to happen. And he, you know, Gabriel gave that God's plan to Daniel. So last point I'd like to make based on these last verses. Fasting breaks the strongholds of demon. Do you believe that? Fasting breaks the stronghold of demon. From Daniel 10, at the end of 21 days of fasting, the messenger Gabriel, with the help of Michael, was able to break through the obstacle set by the prince of Persia, referring to Satan or demonic forces, and deliver the promise of God's plan to Daniel. So fasting breaks the strongholds of demon. And fasting invades Satan's territory of bondage. You know, Satan wants to bind people under his territory. And he wants you to live under the bondage of sin and all kinds of strongholds, whatever they are. But when you fast, Satan trembles because fasting is an instrument that allows God's power to be released so that God's promise is delivered and God's plan is reinstated for your life and my life so that we would be able to be set free from the bondage of Satan or deception or sin or strongholds so that we would enjoy the freedom God intends us to enjoy from day one. So what was intended by God to be loosed on earth is often bound in the invisible realm against God's will and promise, which is Satan's trap. And by the power of demon, but the power of demon is broken through fasting and prayer. And this is consistent with Jesus' teaching. You know, Matthew 17:11, Jesus said, "This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." What's the context? When the disciples could not cast out demons from a demon-possessed boy, they came to Jesus, "Lord, you know, we couldn't do that. Why is that?" And Jesus said, "This kind cannot go out except by prayer and fasting." So this shows how fasting may release God's will by breaking through demonic obstacles. You know, fasting apparently drains the capacity of the adversary to resist. It's like a water poured onto the, you know, the fire. It just, you know, finished the fire. The fasting is like water to the fire. Joel 1:14. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. In Isaiah 58:6-8, is this not the fast which I choose to loosen the bonds of wickedness and to undo the bands of the yoke and let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Isn't that amazing, Isaiah? You know, God gave him this message that God chose fasting as an instrument to loose the bond of the wickedness and the bands of the yoke and let the oppressed go free and breaking every yoke. The fast is the instrument God chose. You know, fasting breaks the strongholds of demon. Or what about the worldly power that impact us so that we cannot live freely according to God's plan? So do you need a breakthrough in your life? Whatever that is, does it mean something to you? And does our church need a breakthrough? And does this country need a breakthrough? Does nations need a breakthrough? You know, God will certainly be glad to see you pray and fast as your prayer and fasting give him an opportunity to release his glory to break off the bondages of all evil forces. And I truly thank for those who are willing to participate a church-wide 21-day fasting starting from Monday. And also, we are having Advent season, and these 21 days would be a good time period to prepare our heart for the Advent season. There are many things from which you can fast. You can skip a meal during the day for 21 days. You can skip entire meal, you know, but at least, you know, a meal that constitute. And you can skip a cup of coffee for 3 weeks. So drink a lot of coffee today. For 21 days, try it. Try it. You can live. I did once, and I get back to this habit, but I did once, and it was great. And also, you can fast from social media for 21 days. You know, social media means also media, you know, TV, you know, channels and YouTube video, Korean drama, Chinese drama, whatever. But also, you know, messaging, you know, what is that called? Snapchat and Instagram these days. I don't know what that is, but I heard from my son. And Facebook. Try to cut off those apps that hooks you. You know, if you feel like that's the thing I want to do when I wake up, that is the thing that you may consider fasting from. And when you fast and pray, you may protect yourself and others from the evil one, because fasting and prayer can break Satan's wicked hold over you and your desires and others as well. And you can actually pray for other people. Your fasting actually impacts other people's strongholds and bondage as well. Do you know that? You know, as an intercessor, for those who people who stood up, 10 people that I remember, this might be a good opportunity to really practice your commitment to the Lord. 21 days. And if you really want to do, you know, vegetation and drink only fasting, please do so. But it may not be easy for those who go out work every day. But at least a meal, and think about this 21-day fasting. And I think not only we cut off the strongholds, but I think above all, you will experience God's glory shining upon your spirit and your mind and your body. And God will bless you with a clear mind, that you have not yet experienced, and he will let you see his direction and experience him in different way. And you know, as you fast, you may not have desire to go back to the normal life. That's the thing that you can experience if you were to complete fasting. But I leave it up to you. There are different things that we can fast from, and as an application from the message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Daniel's fasting is meaningful to you and to him, and even to us. Because of Daniel's fasting, you revealed the future thing that we understand now. One person's dedication can change the whole landscape of history. I think Daniel was one of them. And we can be one of those people, Father, in this generation. Not only we do our fasting and prayer for a breaking off our own stronghold, but also help others to be broken off from all those yokes and bondage and shackles. Father, thank you that there's a deeper level of experiencing you, and may your Holy Spirit touch for those people who have that desire and have that desire to be set free from their own bondage. Father, let your Holy Spirit speak to each one of those people. And Father, we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thy name in all the earth.
Father God, your glory is at the top of our life priorities, Father. Please forgive us that we keep forgetting that. But today, let us look to you again and see you as the source of our life and reason for our life and the aim of our life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your ministry to us with your Holy Spirit. And may the glory of our Lord Jesus and love of the Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen. You can be seated. Before we begin our communion, I forgot one announcement. I won't be here next week, next Sunday. God opened the door through my business to minister to a church in Thailand. Pastor Yongsun Shin, I know some of you, he normally visits once in a while to our church. And I'm going to minister to the people in his church in Thailand, in Bangkok. So I won't be here next week. And so please pray for me and pray for the church and continue to pray for the nation, especially missionaries like Yongsun Shin and Jerry and Lucy in China. So let's begin our communion. Let me begin with Matthew 26:26. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So when he had taken up a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This bread symbolizes the body of Jesus. As we taken some piece, basically that symbolizes the broken body of Jesus on our behalf. And the cup, this juice, is actually symbolizing Jesus' blood. As we take this element, we actually make a renew our covenant that Jesus made. And for the forgiveness of our sins. There's no sin in this world that cannot be forgiven thanks to Jesus. So that's why we participate in remembrance of Him who is our Savior. So before we take this element, let us silently confess all our sins that you can think of, all the sins of omission, that you should have done it but you didn't do, or something that you violated, did, something you should not have done. And all those things, by the help of the Holy Spirit, let us have a silence of moments to confess our sins. 3, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your assurance of this gift of forgiveness as we confess our sins before you. Father, as we confess our sins knowingly and unknowingly, consciously or subconsciously, we know that nothing will be remembered in your mind about our transgression, iniquities, and commission and omission of all our sins, because Jesus' blood will cover. We thank you for this reminder of the great news and the new covenant, the covenant of the blood. Father, no matter what happened in the past, Father, those are things of the past, and now thank you that you're giving us hope to look forward and look upward again, so that we can be a clean slate, we can start anew, and bless each and every day as we walk out from today to live as a new creation again. And let us always remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I invite each and everyone who confesses Jesus as his or her Lord and Savior to join this communion. Thank you. Let's pray once more before we take this element. Jesus, thank you for your blood shed and body broken, for the forgiveness of our sins and healing of our body. And as we take this element, Father, send your Son's Spirit upon us so that we are completely united with Jesus in His death and in His resurrection. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you that your Son promised that He will lavish a table before us. And invite all of us to this great the feast of heaven when He comes back. And thank you for the bright future that you lay out for each one of us and for the Church of Jesus Christ. Let Jubilee Church be completely united in the unity of the Holy Spirit and be the truthful witness for these days that you extended out of your mercy to share the gospel of Jesus and to be a mission-minded church and give us boldness to share the goodness of Jesus to the people around us locally and even the people out there which we may not know globally. Just bless this church to be all yours. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.